But the Sabbath day is that special, significant, spiritual day set forth in God's word when our souls are filled with spiritual food. This is not a commandment that should make us rebel against God or to find arguments how we can get around this commandment. We should look at it positively. It is a commandment that teaches us and reminds us to keep this day special, to set aside those other activities. Why? That we may benefit from God, that we may worship Him, that our souls may be enriched, that we have the time and the freedom and the liberty to go to the marketplace and to receive the spiritual food.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Presence goes before me, and I'm covered. but tomorrow I don't seem to understand.
You've been listening to I Don't Know About Tomorrow by Fred Greenfield. Welcome to our program today. It's Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton. Thank you for joining with us, and we trust that the Word of God will be a blessing to your soul. We have been considering the Sabbath day together, that great market day in which our souls are fed by the Word of God. In regard to the hearing of the Word of God on the Sabbath, Watson says, if you would hear aright, practice what you hear. Practice is the life of all. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Revelation 22, verse 14. Hearing only will be no plea at the day of judgment. Merely to say, Lord, I have heard many sermons. God will say, what fruits of obedience have ye brought forth? The word preached is not only to inform you, but reform you. O believer today, do you heed the word of God? Oh, that we would feast upon the word of God on the blessed market day of the soul, and that word would indeed be practiced within our lives. May that be our prayer, that the Spirit of God would indeed take the word and apply it in our lives and to our hearts. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the next part of that sermon entitled The Blessed Market Day of the Soul.
Boys and girls will know and remember that over the past week at the VBS, we had two stories each day. We considered a story from the Word of God. We dealt with Noah, and then David and Goliath, and then Daniel, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, and then the Apostle Paul being cast into prison with Silas. But we also considered a missionary story about an individual in history who knew the Lord and loved the Lord, and being the year of the Olympic Games and the 100th anniversary of the Olympic Games in Paris in 1924, we considered the story of Eric Liddell, a young man from Scotland, Christian, who knew and loved the Lord, and he was a great athlete. But he was faced with the question of whether to run in the 100 meters race at the Olympic Games. In order to do so, he had to run on a Sunday, a day that was set apart, that he believed in Scripture for the worship of God, a day that he did not run or race, but a day that he spent worshiping the God of heaven. And so Eric Liddell made the decision not to run. And he was able then to be placed in another race, one that he wasn't overly favored in, but he won the gold medal to the glory of God, and he later had time spent in China as a missionary. And the boys and girls each night heard something of the story of Eric Liddell and the stand that he took. He saw the importance of the Lord's Day. And last week we reminded ourselves of what our confessional standards state regarding the fourth commandment in light of Scripture. And of course, in light of this commandment being a commandment that is a blessed commandment to the people of God, we should never view it as a restriction. And we should never view the commandments as a restriction. If we were to turn around and say, well, thou shalt not kill, what a terrible commandment that is. It restricts me, because I want to kill. We would be shocked at someone coming and talking like that. But we have this commandment to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. But yet, men can talk about it being restrictive. Men can talk about it not applying to today. But yet, we find in the Word of God it does. All these commandments are not to restrict us. They are commandments by which we can fulfill our duty to glorify the God of heaven. By not killing, by not bearing false witness, by not having that anger and hate within our lives and our souls, by not committing adultery, and by not taking the name of God in vain, we glorify God. And of course, when it comes to remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that is a commandment by which we can glorify our God. As we come to worship Him today, and as we've come aside from this world, and as we've come aside from our daily activities and the concerns of other days, those concerns may still be there. They may be pressing upon us, but for a moment we can set them aside to worship God. We come and we glorify God. We lift up His name. We bring honor to Him as we worship. And the Shorter Catechism, it reminds us of the importance of this day. And the question is asked, how is the Sabbath to be sanctified? How is it to be set apart from these other days? And the Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy. And of course, we can think of doctors, we can think of those that keep the peace, we can think of providing care, we can think perhaps of the work of farmers, maybe included in that. You might not be able to let your animals starve on a Sunday. They need food. And so there are works of necessity and mercy. The pastor, the busiest day of his week is a Sunday. And that is a work of necessity. A work, we can say, of mercy as well in regard to the gospel of Christ. And so there are works of necessity and mercy that are important. But the whole emphasis here, and the Puritans and the Westminster Divines had this belief that this day was set apart to be the market day of the soul, as we considered last week. That day in which we come together and hear the word of God. And this is how we approach the fourth commandment last Lord's Day. This day of blessing, this day of feasting, this day of coming and hearing the precious word of God. And so last week we considered the Lord's Day as our principal day of worship, and we considered the Lord's Day as that day in which we partake in worship. But I want to come to three final thoughts today. And firstly, I want you to see that the Lord's Day is a day in which we show our love to God. It is a day in which we show our love to God. Of course, that should be every day. But primarily in the context of this commandment, it's a day that we show our love to God. And our love to God is not merely a love that's within our hearts, but it overflows into our lives, and we practice that love. We engage with God on the basis of our love for Him. If we love Him and we desire to walk in His ways, then that will be seen within our lives. And if we love God, and if we love His word, will that not be seen on His day when we come to worship together as His people? It is a day in which we can glorify Him. I want you to turn to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. And here the psalmist, it's a song of degrees, the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was glad. And this psalm teaches us something as the people of God, because this is what our attitude should be toward the worship of God, toward anything to do with the worship of God. Our own private reading, our private prayer, the public worship of God. This psalm has something to say about it. When the psalmist went to the house of God to meet with God, there was gladness in his heart. He didn't need to be grabbed by the hair and chains placed upon him and dragged like a prisoner and forced to sit in the worship of God. He was glad. He was willing. He was glad that there were others who said, "Let us go and worship." He was glad that he could go and worship. The question comes to us today, dear congregation. When we come to the worship of God, are we glad? Are we glad to come to meet with him? Are we glad to sing the songs of praise? Are we glad to bow our heads in prayer? Are we glad to come aside to read his word and to hear the preaching of his word? Are we glad? Young people and children, are you glad to come to church? I was brought up in a Christian home, and that simply meant that every Sunday we went to Sunday school in the morning. We went to church morning and evening. Without fail, if we were sick, that was understandable, but we had to be sick. We couldn't just be a little tired. We had to be sick. So sick that we would be coughing and sneezing and spluttering over the person in front of us in the pew if we went to church. We were expected to be there. And I remember as a young child that Sundays were very different. We did not always have that access to those things we did on other days. And so when it came to the Lord's Day, we didn't go out and play as we did on other days. We didn't have the television on as we had on other days. It was a day that was very different. Saturday was the day of fun. Sunday was different. As a young child, 5-6 years of age, not fully understanding these things, Sunday was maybe the boring day. And to my shame, as a young child, that's how I felt. I soon learned it wasn't a boring day. I learned the importance of it. But maybe there's those who are young here today and you feel the same. It's a boring day. If you love the Lord, you desire to walk in his ways. Be thankful for this day. Be thankful for parents who bring you to the house of God. Be thankful that you can come aside and focus upon the Lord and hear his word, because that is a great privilege that many don't have. We said last Lord's Day evening about those who were brought up in churches where they never heard the gospel. They went to church, yes, but they never heard the truths of the gospel of Christ, how Christ could save them and deliver them, and how they needed to repent from their sin. There was something missing. Something missing. What a privilege it is to be able to come and hear the true and the full gospel of Christ. But yet how many despise it. How we can think, oh, it's something we have to do. It's a duty. Not out of love for God, but just because we have to keep up appearances. To those who are older as well, can that not be something that we can fall foul of? We have to come to church because people will ask questions if we don't come. We should come because God sees us. We should come because we love him. We should come because there's a gladness in our hearts that this day is set aside to meet with him. And dear believer, today, can you say within your heart that as you come to the house of God, there's a joy to worship, a joy to meet with God. Oh, that we would have that gladness within us. We're not talking here of a joy or a happiness or a gladness that we find through entertainment. Because many times of worship today, well, it's entertaining. It's made to be entertaining because that is what people want and desire. That's not the true worship of God. Are we glad that we can come aside and still our hearts and think upon the great truths of Scripture and worship God in the way that He has commanded to in His Word. I was glad. This is a day that we show our love to God. We show our love by coming to His house. We show our love by putting Him first. We show our love by setting aside those things that can interfere with our worship of Him. They may be good for other days, but they can be set aside today as we meet with God. I want you to see, secondly, as well, and this is where the main thrust of our thought will be this morning, the Lord's Day is a day which requires spiritual preparation. The Lord's Day is a day which requires spiritual preparation. In 1841, Robert Murray McSheen wrote a letter, a public letter on the subject of Sabbath railways. It was quite a new thing. The railway was new. Running it on a Sunday was new. And those who were used to the whole of society shutting down on a Sunday were opposed to railways running on a Sunday. And so in that context, nearly 200 years ago, he wrote and he referred to the Westminster Confession of Faith that speaks of preparation for the Sabbath. And he said that this Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all the day from their own works, words and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also taken up the whole time in the private and public exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. And so there is that emphasis then in the Confession of Faith. And what Robert Murray McSheen, that man who wrote hymns such as "I Once Was a Stranger to Grace and to God," what he's saying is that we don't come to the Sabbath, we don't approach the Sabbath of God as we would approach every other day. There's to be a due preparing, a due preparing. We can think of things in life we don't often prepare for, but we can think, if we were going to attend a sports game, an important game, would we prepare? Some of us might just show up, others might make sure, well, I have my ticket, I have my way of getting there. They'll make preparation. They'll look into the ins and outs of the game. They'll make sure they have their flag or they have their jersey or they have their hat. They'll make sure that everything is ready and everything is good to go. If I stood up this morning and said, well, I didn't decide what to preach until 10:28 when I came out of the office, you'll be thinking, well, Pastor, what's going on? What's been going on all week? The Sabbath is an important day. The preaching of the word is important. Where's the preparation? The pastor is expected to prepare. The pastor is expected to pray. The pastor is expected to write notes down, whether that's a lot of notes or enough notes for what he needs, or whatever it is. He's expected to know what is to be said, to rely on God as well, and his help for what has to be said. It's not just reading a manuscript. It's looking to God for his help, and for his message, and to feed his people. And there has to be preparation. But at the same time, we can logically see that as the people of God, though we are not preaching, we are listening to preaching, we are coming to worship, what about our hearts? Are we coming in dryly? Are we coming in coldly? Are we coming in with the burdens of life and work upon our hearts? And we do. But are those things hindering us when we come to the worship of God? The thoughts and the concerns about the week that lies ahead, is that what we're thinking about as we sing the praises of God? Let us prepare our hearts that we focus upon Him. That though those things may be important, they're set aside as we come to worship God.
Spurgeon brings us today to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. Get thee up into the high mountain. Get thee up into the high mountain. Our knowledge of Christ is somewhat like climbing one of our Welsh mountains. When you are at the base, you see but little. The mountain itself appears to be but one half as high as it really is. Confined in a little valley, you discover scarcely anything but the rippling brooks as they descend into the stream at the foot of the mountain. Climb the first rising knoll, and the valley lengthens and widens beneath your feet. Go higher, and you see the country for 4 or 5 miles around, and you are delighted with the widening prospect. Mount still, and the scene enlarges, till at last, when you are on the summit and look east, west, north, and south, you see almost all England lying before you. Yonder is a forest in some distant county, perhaps 200 miles away, and here the sea, and there is a shining river, and the smoking chimneys of a manufacturing town, or the masts of the ships in a busy port. All these things please and delight you, and you say, I could not have imagined that so much could be seen at this elevation. Now, the Christian life is of the same order. When we first believe in Christ, we see but little of him. The higher we climb, the more we discover of his beauties. But who has ever gained the summit? Who has known all the heights and depths of the love of Christ which passes knowledge? Paul, when growing old, sitting grey-haired, shivering in a dungeon in Rome, could say with greater emphasis than we can, I know whom I have believed. For each experience had been like the climbing of a hill, each trial had been like ascending another summit, and his death seemed like gaining the top of the mountain, from which he could see the whole of the faithfulness and the love of him to whom he had committed his soul. Get thee up, dear friend, into the high mountain. We come to the end of our program today. We trust that the ministry of God's Word has indeed been a blessing to your soul, and that you will join us again on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we are also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.